In Isaiah 9, it says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That's an heir. When he said son, that's an heir. He gave us the heir of all things, Christ, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In the increase of his government and peace, there be no end. That government upon his shoulders is where understanding is a place. Say it's a place. Somebody asked me, I don't understand. You keep calling it a room. I don't understand. Look, it's a place, a room. The Bible says you're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Heaven is not a one place. It's a kingdom. It's kind of like here, you have a home, and that's where relationship, intimacy, all that happens in the home environment. But when you go transact business, you know, if you're not operating in your house, you'll go to a place of business. If you're going to get a legal matter settled, you go to courts. If you got a judgment against you, and you know, if you walk around a born-again believer with this kind of word in your life, the enemy will try to put a judgment against your life, and you go to the courts to release that. Then there's governmental operations that establish and decree. Government, all that happens in the kingdom. I mean, we don't see it all like that, because sometimes we see going to God for fellowship or going to God to worship, but there's a lot that transpires in the kingdom of God. Now, those operations have to be revealed according to where we are in the timing of God. The Holy Spirit reveals these invisible places, and he makes them visible. Then he teaches the protocol, the understanding, and how it works. All of it's fully defined by the Word of God. This room or place of government, I like to call it a room, although it's very big. It's incredibly powerful in there. I see different things at different times in there. It's really powerful. It's the answer to a lot of things we're looking for. Amen. We've got to get higher. That room's about as high as it gets. It's in the shoulders of God. I mean, above that, Christ is the head. So dwelling in the shoulders is a pretty high place. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He goes, but I go to prepare a place for you. You have a calling and destiny. A lot of people, they've been in church for 50 years and don't realize they're trying to still find out who they are. Your calling, the Bible says he ascended on high, led captivity captive, and he received, in Psalms, that he received gifts. When he received gifts, he received the full governmental operation of the body of Christ. Every single gift there was, he received it. Your gift, he received. Your office he received. You belong to an office or an operation of God. You're going to be somewhere between apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, helps, governments, or diversity of tongues. You're one of those. He administrates your office there. He gives that office there. And he administrates from that position, because Ephesians said he ascended on high, led captivity captive, and he gave. So he received and he gives from that position on high. See, on high. You want to find out who you are? Go into that place. You want to be fully equipped with the full gospel? Go into that room. Amen. I'm just now learning how to get in there. You keep at it. See, your faith will overcome, and then your pathway will get set, and you'll go, whew, all this is done by faith. God will help you out. Amen. He's leading you. He's giving you his word. He's opening, but you have to mix faith with it to get lift off. Amen. You tune in. Say, tune in. I was sitting there the day, and the Lord just, he said this to me. He says, the fullness of the Mount Hebron inheritance and the perfection of it is in this room. It is the order of seven that's in this room. My final church is the seventh inheritor of Mount Hebron. I said, what? Because I know sevens are all over this room, because it's the perfection. It's apostolic government. There's 12s and sevens everywhere, but a lot of seven. And he said, it's the order of seventh. He goes, my final church is the seventh inheritors of the Mount Hebron. I said, whoa. Abraham was buried in Mount Hebron. Isaac was buried in Mount Hebron. Jacob was buried in Mount Hebron. Caleb's 45-year stand to receive Mount Hebron. David was crowned in Mount Hebron. Christ, I will bring a seed out of Jacob, out of Judah. Mount Hebron's in Judah, by the way. Out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, number six. Number seven, Christ gives it to his final church. Age, the seventh operation of Mount Hebron is the church age. It'll be given to the church of Philadelphia, to the key to the house of David. The foundations of that house is a kingly government came out of Mount Hebron. David multiplied from 600 men to 348,000 in 3 days. When they crowned him in Mount Hebron, he multiplied to 348,000. The inheritance, all of that mountain, all the inheritance of that mountain was in there. You remember when Elisha's bones hit that dead Moabite hit Elisha's bones? He came alive immediately. His dead bones carried the faith. All the patriarchs were buried in that mountain. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, their wives are all buried in that mountain. So when the children of Israel come up in there, that's where they went immediately with the 10 spies. They went down into Mount Hebron, and that's where the giants were. And they're still where the giants are today, controlling the nations through the systems of this world. And they were there in that mountain, and they were sitting on God's inheritance. All that fruit that came out of that mountain, it came right out of Mount Hebron. They carried that fruit out on staves. And Caleb saw that. He said, that is my mountain. He had to pay a price. He gets 1 week trip, 40-day trip in the Mount Hebron, and he has to carry it for 40 years in the wilderness. He never lost it. He got back up in to Mount Hebron. He fought with Joshua. Then he said, Joshua, I want my inheritance. At 40 years old, he goes, the strength that was in me now, I'm 85. The same strength in me today. And he goes, they're bred for me. Because Joshua goes, well, you know the giants. Nobody else asked for it. They knew what that inheritance was. But the giants were there. He goes, you know the giants are there. He goes, they're bred for me. He's 85 years old talking like that. And he got it. Caleb was the fourth inheritor of it. And then David gets crowned in it after he took down Goliath. Which Goliath, why am I talking about this, Lord? Which Goliath, by the way, was out of Gath. You remember when Caleb displaced the giants? Where did they go? They went to Gath. Goliath was an original descendant. He was a descendant of the original giants that were sitting and camping on the promised land. And God already had Mount Hebron prepared for David. He said, the only way you're going to get it, David, is you're going to go through that giant right there. When you take him down, the inheritance is yours. And he took him down. He talked just like Caleb. David and Caleb talked just like each other. They faced the giants the same way that he inherited the mountain. And he multiplied. And he took that inheritance into Jerusalem. It was the foundation of David's throne. It was the foundation of the house of David, the Mount Hebron inheritance. We are the seventh order. In this hour, that mountain's in that constitution. Isn't that good? Oh, Father, crown us. So when he crowns, when he gives the crown to the Church of Philadelphia, when he crowned a church, that crown came out of the house of David. He said, the key to the government, the kingdom of David, I'm going to open. And he gave a church the crown. Where do you think he's given all that from? From the house of David. Where do you think that is now? It's in the right hand of God. Christ inherited. He goes, it's a throne after the order of David. Upon his kingdom, I'm going to order and establish. He inherits all this, and he's going to open it from this room we're talking about. This place. This governmental room. That's a part of the inheritance of Benjamin. It's in the shoulders of God. It's in that place called the shoulders. It'll be the seventh order. So the lampstand is seven. There's seven lamps that John sees burning, which is the seven spirits of God. Spirit of glory, spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Seven inheritance, power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Seven horns of authority, seven eyes of omniscience, seven continents of the earth. There's a lot of sevens. We are the seventh order. Seventh day of rest. It's the perfection of rest of Benjamin. He will rest securely in my right hand. Seven pillars of apostolic government. Seven pillars of wisdom, righteousness, peace, gentleness, humility, mercy, equality, and truth. Seven pillars of apostolic government. Salvation, worship, deliverance, intercession, divine healing, benevolence, and discipleship. All those sevens are in the lamp. One lampstand holds the multifaceted operation of seven. And seven is the perfection of God. When he lights that lampstand that John was looking at, which is already lit in heaven, when he lights in the earth, every one of those sevens are going to fill the earth. Every operation of sevens going to release into the earth. The seven spirits of God, the seven pillars of wisdom, the seven pillars of apostolic government, the seven inheritance of Christ, the seventh day of rest is going to release upon God's people, and the seventh order of Mount Hebron inheritance is going to release on a company of believers, a bridal company, and God will crown his church with a seven. That's why the seven horns and the seven eyes were resting upon Christ in Revelation chapter 5, ready to open the final book to humanity and release the final government. He said it would be released into all these seven spirits of God. He said these seven horns and seven eyes are the seven spirits of God that will release into all the earth. And then they begin to decree, let the kings and priests reign in the earth. Let the kings and priests reign in the earth. It is a time for the kings and priests to reign in the earth. Because God will release the perfection of all things. We are the generation of perfection. And he'll release it into the earth. When he opens the book, the perfection of all things, the bridal perfection will be seen. Solomon was building the temple for exactly 7 years. I said, Lord, the seventh order of Mount Hebron. I said, oh, Lord, crown us. What do you think we're doing up in that room, by the way? We're becoming aware of everything's there. Everything I just said to you is sitting in that governmental room. It's all there. You may not know it's there, but it's there. When you're in there, you can start practicing awareness. We get to go into the seventh day of rest where Christ sat down and rested. We get to enter into his rest. Glory to God. Isn't that good, though? Mount Hebron, the seventh order. Woo, the order of God's kings. Each order producing more. Coming out of the original promises to Abraham. All the DNA of every one of those men are in that mountain. And that mountain's in us. And it's going to come out. It's going to multiply just like it did for David. You want to talk about Solomon?
There's also a seven fruits of the Spirit. I mean, seven is perfection, completion, and we're in the seventh day, and we're in the seventh hour. And God is perfecting and completing his bride. Because we are getting ready to ride forth victoriously in his name, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, and not just proclaiming it, but demonstrating it everywhere that we go. And when they see it and they feel it, they're going to receive it. And so he asked me to just share a little bit about Solomon. And I thought, this is so fascinating. Because he had been sharing about entering in by his rest, and then also that the beloved rest dwells on the shoulders, the beloved rest under the shadow of his Almighty, The beloved is the one that, like John, leans on his shoulder. And so I thought, the Lord kept speaking to me about Solomon about his name, and that Solomon had the greatest, what we know to be the greatest godly earthly kingdom that there ever was. And so when I looked up about his name, and I had remembered that he had two names. And what's fascinating is that his mom named him Solomon. Bathsheba named him Solomon, which means peace, because they had been reconciled to God. The first child we know was taken, but the second child, God is, it's a great story of redemption. Talk about having your past forgiven and reproach taken off of you. The reproach came off of Bathsheba. It came off of David, and it came off of their lineage and their line. What a story of redemption. And so even though Bathsheba had named him Solomon, if you turn in your Bibles to over to 2 Samuel 12, 24 and 25, the Lord named Solomon Jedeah, which means my beloved son. And it says that David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went to lay with her, and she bore a son, and she called his name Solomon, peace, rest. And the Lord loved the child, and he sent a message by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and called the boy's special name Jedidiah, beloved of the Lord, because the Lord loves the child. Now, what was so special about this king was that many Jewish historians say that Nathan the prophet helped raise up, the prophet helped raise up the king. So he had both a kingly and a prophetic anointing upon his life. A prophet ministered to the king, to Solomon. And in Nehemiah, it says, Nehemiah 13, it says, did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations, there was no king like him who was the beloved of the Lord. And what is fascinating is that Solomon is like, even though he was from the tribe of Judah, he was like a Benjamite. He was the younger son. And it says in the annals of the kings, it says that he was passed over. His father chose him as his successor, passing over the claims of the elder sons. Say, Solomon was a younger son, like a Benjamin. God, we in this age are the younger sons, and God is calling us to rule and reign with him in his authority and in his stead, and for him and in his honor. And so when he says the beloved of the Lord, that the government is given to the beloved of the Lord, the beloved of the Lord stands for intimacy. And whoever is intimate with the Lord is going to carry his heart. So who does David pick to be his successor? The beloved of the Lord, the one that he knows is going to carry his heart. And that's why John, out of all the disciples, was the revelator And all through 1 John and the book of John, he calls himself the beloved of the Lord. John meditated on that he is the beloved of the Lord. And that needs to be our meditation for this season and for this time, that we are the beloved of the Lord. We are his beloved. And that's who God gives rulership. He's going to only give his authority, his power, his anointing, and his rulership to those that he can trust with their hearts. And if you look in the long range of people that moved in demonstration of power in the 1950s when they had the healing evangelist, there were certain healing evangelists that ended up dying an early death because they misused the power. They didn't have his heart. You can have a certain level of power and not have his heart, but you're not going to carry it for long. Because remember, the lion overcomes, but the lamb rules. And if you were to look in the book of Revelation, and when they say that they worship the Lord at the throne of God and at the throne of the Lamb of God, look up how many times, 29 times in the book of Revelation, it talks about the Lamb of God. And that is where we take, like, the framing your world is about developing the character of God, because without the character of God, you're not going to hold that anointing and power and staff of authority very long. You have to have both. You have to have a mix of the lion and the mix of the lamb. And this is the season of perfection. And whenever there's perfection, there's holy fire. And we need the holy fire, because until the disciples yielded themselves to that baptism of fire, they weren't given that power and anointing to lead millions and or multitudes and multitudes to the Lord. They received the fire in the upper room. They went up. They received the fire in the upper room and they went up. Moses went up the mountain to where Jesus was and experienced the fire of God before he was commissioned out and helped me lead millions to the Lord. And out of Egypt, he had to go up to where the Father was. And then again, it talks about him going up the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. And I feel like he got to that place where physically, the Lord was giving him a visual of going up, going inward, going up to the Lord. And then he set up the tabernacle of Moses where he would have face-to-face encounters with the Lord. And he wasn't on the mountain, but I feel like he was on the mountain then spiritually. He caught the vision of the awesomeness and the power of God. And so I just wanted to close with one last thought, and that is about Joseph and about Jesus. Jesus taught about taking the loaves and the fishes, and he broke the bread and he lifted it up and he thanked God for it. He blessed it and it multiplied. Well, he didn't stop with that visual. He gave us one of his final visuals before he left the earth, and that is he was buried in Joseph's tomb. And Joseph means increase and multiplication. So when they put his body in the tomb of Joseph, increase and multiplication, his body was really lifted up into the jurisdiction of heaven. And now he is multiplied in millions of believers in us and millions of believers worldwide. Talk about a seed being planted and being multiplied in the jurisdiction of heaven, in the heavenly realms. That is the result of that blessing of that was upon his life and upon his body.
Just to stand up for a minute. I just want to release grace. A whole lot of grace in that room. It's a grace for our generation. It's a brand new grace for our generation. Yes, the Holy Spirit was poured out. We have everything that was given to the early church in the early reign. He will be poured out again. He is the seven spirits of God according to Revelation chapter 1. And he will be poured out again according to Revelations 4, 5, and 6. He will be poured out under a new government. It's a government that's in the room we're talking about. It's a place where it'll all come out of. The fullness, an order of kings and priests in which the olive trees of Zechariah 4 will release the continuous oil. When the oil begins to flow, it will not stop flowing until the final light. That lampstand will have three predominant testimonies and three different companies of people carrying it. The first company will carry that lampstand, the final light to humanity, will be the bridal company. The baton will be passed to the two witnesses. And then that baton will be passed to the 144,000. They'll carry the final light. But Father, we thank you for all the glory that's in this room, the grace, the oil, the preparations, that our lights and our lamps are burning, Father. We see we're part of that company that's making intercession, linked up and synced up to what you're doing. Grant us grace from this place. Grant us grace to enter, access, understand. Father, I ask you to grant for the eyes of the understanding to be opened all throughout this place, for veils to be removed, for spiritual veils to be removed, and the omniscience of wisdom that dwelleth in this place to rest upon your believers so they may see, understand, know, mature. The babes will begin chewing meat, babes born with teeth. Father, that there'll be an acceleration through the kingdom of multiplication, the acceleration of wisdom, the acceleration of development, the acceleration by which grace develops us, the acceleration by which wisdom builds us, the acceleration of preparation. As we move into a place that's beyond time, we can accelerate from this room, grant wisdom. Grant faith and grace for access, wisdom to understand, for eyes of the understanding, eyes of the heart, eyes of the new man to see, understanding how to see in the spirit, how to become aware of invisible things. Grant, Father, open heaven all over this place, visitation, grant open heaven for encounter. Grant access as you have already paved the way, Lord. Now we're entering into this glorious final room, the room of your government, where all of it dwelleth, where all the inheritance dwelleth. I'm aware of your seven inheritances right now, Lord. I'm aware of the power and the riches and the wisdom and the strength. My Father, I ask you right now, a changing of identity in this room. When Joshua came into the courts, he laid down an old garment and was given a new one. There's a changing of a garment. There's a shifting of identity. Clothes in the new robes. Clothe us in the new identity. Clothe us in the new glory. Clothe us. Just sense that coming around you, that you're surrounded, that you're encompassed, that you're shielded. It's an atmosphere of perfect rest, an atmosphere of perfect harmony. Father, keep us all the day long. Shield us, covereth all the day long. Keep us from the warfare, Father. Keep us up. Uphold us here. Uphold, Father, uphold. Uphold us in the rooms of your glorious grace. Uphold us in the rooms of your glorious peace. We forget those things that lie behind now. We move up in. You should be shielded right now. You should feel yourself in a cocoon. Grant us grace to dwell between the pillars, Father. To dwell before the seven spirits of God burning. For the seven eyes of omniscience that run to and fro everywhere. Perfect omniscience. Preparing us for power. The seven pillars of wisdom. All around us. Seven inheritances being clothed in inheritance. We freely receive, Father. We freely receive. He's walking in this room. He's walking amongst the seven lampstands. The seven churches, preparing the light, the final church age. When you walk in the room, as you move in that place, you can practice that awareness. And then you can get clothed in what's in there. And you learn to do that, you're well on your way.
We trust you're enjoying today's message. We would like to invite you to partner with us through our convenient online donation feature that enables our ministry to continue offering these life-changing messages free of charge.